the Public News Service Daily Newscast for October the 3rd, 2022. I'm Mike Clifford. 3 in 4 minimum wage workers are age 20 and older and could get a pay boost. That if voters approve Initiative 433 on the November ballot.
Ballots for the November election are headed to mailboxes across the state, and Nebraska voters will get to decide if the state's minimum wage should gradually rise about $1.50 per year until it reaches $15 an hour by 2026. Kate Wolf with Raise the Wage Nebraska, the group behind Initiative Measure 433, says when working families are earning a sustainable wage, they have more money to spend.
More money in people's pockets is more money that is spent in Main Street businesses. And that helps drive our local economies. It's a win-win-win for everyone.
President Franklin D. Roosevelt once said that no business that depends on paying less than a living wage has any right to be in business. But opponents of raising the wage floor have long since worked to shift the debate. They argue small businesses operating on thin profit margins would pass costs along to consumers. Others claim that minimum wage workers are teenagers who are getting valuable work experience and don't have to pay rent. This is Eric Galatis reporting.
And students bolstered by recent student debt forgiveness say their next challenge is canceling the debt carried by colleges and universities, which also affects them.
The UMass system currently holds some $3 billion in debt, and at Mass State Colleges, it's more than $1 billion. It's estimated that students pay more than $2,500 in annual fees just to help cover their school's debt. Cassidy O'Connor is a senior studying political science at Salem State University. She thinks student fees could be better spent on her school's most pressing needs.
There's a lot of facilities on campus that need to be updated. We have some residence halls that are really run down, more student services, more full-time faculty, tenured faculty.
A new report from the Massachusetts Teachers Association shows the increase in student fees to pay for capital debts has increased student loan debt by roughly 25%. O'Connor says that means students have to work more and study less, which therefore diminishes their overall campus experience. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
Now from the Washington Post, Florida residents grappling with widespread destruction and flooding after Hurricane Ian, one of the most powerful storms to ever hit the U.S., amid ongoing search efforts, has risen to at least 48. The Post reports across the southwest and central region of the state about 800,000 homes and businesses remain without power Sunday. In North Carolina, more than 16,000 customers are still without power. This is PNS. On the last day to sign bills this session, Governor Gavin Newsom approved a slew of measures to improve college graduation rates, particularly for students from low-income communities.
One proposal, Assembly Bill 1705, requires community colleges to place more students in transfer-level courses. Joshua Hagan with the Campaign for College Opportunity says previously students had to take high-stakes entry exams that diverted too many people, especially students of color, into years of remedial courses that don't count toward a degree.
Whatever classes students took in high school, whatever GPA they had, the best way that we can support them is starting them in something that will earn them college credit, making sure they get supports rather than starting in a remedial class, taking 1, 2, 3 semesters before they even get to that starting line.
I'm Suzanne Potter.
Another bill would require Cal State and community colleges to grant priority registration to students who are raising kids. Governor Newsom also signed a bill into law Friday to require Caltrans to integrate wildlife corridors into its plans as roads are built around the state. Marie Galloway is with the Wildlands Network in Sacramento.
Especially mountain lions in Southern California, their inability to move is causing genetic abnormalities and potential local extinctions. But also in Eastern California, we have mule deer corridors, which are being severed by some of the major highways through there.
Wildlife crossings allow animals to search a little bit further afield for their mates. Research says that supports genetic diversity. And finally, Edwin J. Vieira tells us the U.S. is seeing a national push from the federal government and car companies to pivot toward electric vehicles, and Connecticut is riding that trend.
The Inflation Reduction Act includes incentives for buyers of electric vehicles, and elected officials are taking this call to action in stride. Connecticut passed its own Clean Air Act, which requires all state vehicles to be electric by 2030. It also offers incentives for anyone to buy zero-emission vehicles. State Senator William Haskell, who worked on the bill, feels it was born of the necessity to rid Connecticut of harmful carbon emissions.
My state saw 21 days of unhealthy levels of ozone in 2021. That was the highest in New England. And 5 out of our 8 counties got F grades from the American Lung Association. The American Lung Association weighs in because worse air pollution can create aggravated serious lung conditions, including asthma and emphysema.
Numerous rebates will be available for EV purchases to help make it easier for families and small business owners to do so. Connecticut will also give rebates of up to $500 for electric bikes.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for starting your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported, heard on great radio stations, your favorite podcast platform. Find your trusted indicators at publicnewsservice.org.